بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد. This is the last Thursday night of the month of Ramadan. As they say, time flies. It was just the other day we felt that the beginning of the month had just started, and now here we are, the last Thursday night, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us in these last days, if He hasn't already forgiven us over the course of this month, that He forgives us at this point and allows us to, inshallah, benefit more from the remainder of this month. One of the concepts that we have in the du'as of the month of Ramadan, which is found in other supplications as well, is in different ways asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get us closer and closer to Himself. Different du'as in this month and du'as outside of the month use different wording, different language for it. What I can think of right now is actually for tonight and for Thursday nights in general, not just the month of Ramadan. The last lines of the du'a, there's a few of them. If I can remember, and you recite a salawat, please. وَأَشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ قُرْبِكَ فِي الْمُشْتَاقِينَ. One of the lines is this, that I ask you, we ask Allah in that, Amir al-Mu'mineen teaches us, that we long for and strongly desire ila qurbik, being near Him, fil mushtaqin, amongst those who are wanting that, who have that fervor, who have that strong desire. The idea of the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one which is difficult to really get our heads around in so many different ways, because obviously, for instance, it doesn't mean a physical, material nearness. There's no place. You can't be on a plane and get closer to Allah because you're, you know, up there in the sky. You know, God is not up there in the sky. We raise our hands in dua. That is a gesture. And it doesn't mean physical height. It means spiritual elevation. But this is a physical gesture, which means that, just like the words are material words, we create sound waves, they mean certain things, right? So what is it exactly, and why should I want it? Why should we even want it? Recite a salawat, please. I think if this is resolved, from my own experience, when I went through this discussion by the explanation of a great scholar, Aytullah Misbah, may Allah protect him and grant him a long life, it resolved a lot of different issues, which I don't want to touch on, just want to express the importance of conceptually at least processing this, the understanding of the nearness to the divine, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using examples that can make sense to us. And once we get that down, again, there's conceptual effects, meaning certain questions or doubts that we currently have or would develop would find an answer through this. According to the Quran, the very creation of mankind is for this. The purpose of creation, the purpose of going through all these difficulties, all these hurdles we go in life as individuals, as human society, just think of all the wars that are happening, for instance, all the wrongs, everything throughout history up to today. This whole creation with everything that's in it, the purpose of it is for mankind, for people, for individuals to choose what will lead them to be near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to Allah. It's a blessing that the greatest blessing that human beings can receive, and angels, based on what we have, are not able to be recipients of that blessing. Right? You've heard in the experience of the ascension of the Prophet, the Mi'raj, the Holy Prophet ascended and ascended and ascended. There came a point where Jibra'il, the archangel, was not able to ascend beyond that. He said, this is my limit, I can't go beyond that. This is not only for the Prophet, as that experience was not the only experience of the ascension of the Prophet. We have a hadith in Al-Kafi by Shaykh Al-Kulayni, may Allah bless his soul, that suggests just a couple of hadith, but this one mentions that ascension is something that happens, or mi'raj is something that happens every Thursday night. Again, something about tonight, for us to take this night more seriously, inshallah. So it's not something that's only about the Prophet ascending beyond a level where the Archangel Jibra'il can't ascend above, or up to that point even, because God knows how much further up he went. The purpose of creation is this. Is it really that important? Is it really that great? Because, I mean, it means that every trouble you're going through in life is to help you get to that, right? If you have trouble with work, if you have trouble with your finances, if you have health problems, if you've had an accident, had whatever, all the hurdles you go through in life, they are all there to get the believers to the qurb and the proximity of the divine, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, this means that every time we complain about any of those hardships, we're complaining about what's going to cause us to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Getting this understanding, getting an understanding regarding this idea helps us so much. For those who wish to or want to be better and want to at least think about this, what is said is, let me use one of the Quranic lines that we have about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the bounties and the blessings and paradise, and it's really beautiful, right? Anything you think you have here or in the Bahamas or in Hawaii or wherever, the best of the scenery that you could imagine, okay? With everything, and I mean everything, that I don't want to describe the whole scene, right? Including the wine and the other stuff that you can't look at. That whole package is there. It's described in the Quran. I don't want to use the wording, okay? It's very descriptive and it's very graphic, okay? All that's there. But then God says, وَرِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. God being pleased with you is greater than all of that. Why? Just because it's just thrown there? Because God is... No, it's suggesting that the pleasure All of that is mentioned, you understand, you get in tune with, you know, the joy and the pleasure in certain things. And then it says, this is greater than all of those. In other words, the pleasure of that is greater than all of the above. Or all of the below. How is that possible? Adil Misbah mentioned a good example. For me, it made sense. I hope it can make sense as a good reminder. He mentioned, he said, you know, sometimes certain people that we know, that we are in touch with or aware of, spending time with them, being in their proximity, being close to them, just spending that time, especially if they can just pay a little bit of attention to us, is worth everything. All the material stuff is just not really comparable. We do have these experiences. I've mentioned this example because he mentioned Ayatollah Khamenei. I'll mention that too, a personal experience. But I saw this with my own eyes with other people. Ayatollah Behjet was one of the figures. So we had a summer camp. There were brothers and sisters that came from Western countries, various Western countries. And we had very long nights, meaning we were up until 1, 2, sometimes 3 a.m. I would try to go to sleep earlier, but it's difficult to get those youth to sleep when there's no parents around and you know, there's loads of different things to do. And so it's difficult to get people to sleep. So they're up that late. They heard Ayatollah Behjet goes to the Haram 7 a.m. 7 a.m., you have to be there if you want to see him. All the pleasures of sleeping in late and missing out on class and all of that, someone who's heard a little bit about this man, who has developed a spiritual inclination, is willing to give up on sleep and everything and go there for what? What's the objective? Just being around, getting close to someone. He's seen him online. There's videos, there's pictures, there's words, there's everything. That's not what he's going there for. It's just something about being close to this person. Right? Making it there, I don't know how much they would have to walk to get there, just to be close to this individual that they liked so much. They developed this ma'rifah towards, this understanding towards, that they wanted to be close to him. Did he say salam to them? Did he speak to them? Did he even look at them? Oh, Ayatollah Behjet would just look down and just walk, and that is tasbih, and just that is dhikr. People would just come. You saw a number of, this is not just these guys, they heard about it, and I was giving you this example because it's people that probably knew less of him compared to many others. But they developed this bond, this understanding, this ma'rifah, that just being in that gave them this pleasure that they talked about throughout the trip and afterwards when they got back to their countries. Something they felt there, they enjoyed more than a lot of other things that they experienced on the trip. There's a lot of good food, there's a lot of good company, there's a lot of different good things that they would take pleasure in. But this was something else. Right? The example Ayatollah Misbah gave that we understood, and I had that experience, was with Ayatollah Khamenei. He was giving this lecture in Qom. Ayatollah Misbah was, it was actually Ayatollah Khamenei's office. He said, if they tell you right now that tomorrow there is a session that you can attend and have lunch with Ayatollah Khamenei, food that's going to be there too, how many would want to go? And obviously all the people there would definitely want to be there. If someone doesn't have the means for transportation, if they'd have to walk, he said, I know people that have walked great distances just to be able to see, to be around, to experience the presence of. Okay? And then he said, look, if you make it there, if you go for that lunch or for that dinner, or if they make that announcement, make the announcement that tomorrow lunch you can have with the leader, right? How many would ask what's on the menu? Is it biryani? Is it tacos? Or is it the same old cholo kebab? Who's going to ask that, honestly? Unless you really don't know who you're talking about. Or perhaps you don't like the person. I don't know. There may be some people out there. There are some people. Right? You don't care about that. It's about the presence of the person. It's about being around that person. There was this session. There were a few public sessions. I had the tawfiq and the blessing to be there. But there was one specifically I remember. Youth had gathered. They had this conference for Muslim youth from across the globe when the Islamic awakening was happening. They call it the Arab Spring. That was happening in the region. They had this conference in Iran. And people would come. I knew some of the brothers that came. People from Germany had come. People from Canada, from the U.S., and other countries had come. And one of the brothers I knew from Canada. So it wasn't pre-announced. Nobody knew that they were going to be having that visit. But they mentioned the last day after they were there, the last day they were going to go visit the leader. Again, the late night problem and an early morning rise and going, preparing to go. And it took a few hours because the preparation and the sitting in the buses, there was a lot of people, like hundreds, perhaps a thousand, a couple thousand people that were there, arranging the buses, getting, and then going through security, a couple of hours to just get into the Husseiniyah. I don't know if you've seen the imagery. And then when you get there, you're tired, you haven't had enough sleep. And you get there, the temperature wasn't right. It's a little on the warm side, and people start dozing off. You get, you know. And then it took time for him to come, for I don't know what reason. But anyway, we were sitting there for maybe 30 minutes. Some of the Pakistani youth that had come, they started doing this nice song, nasheed or whatever you like to call it. And then he came. As soon as he came, the whole mood changed. Everybody was just up on their feet, chanting, people crying. Guys, brothers, a whole bunch of them were just in tears, were just crying. And he came and spoke for maybe 15, 20 minutes. And then that was done. He left. I'm telling you, the atmosphere, the environment, just being there was just so different. Afterwards, I told the brother, like, are you still up there? Or are you back on earth yet? All the difficulties that they went through, the brother's like, this made the trip worth it. Okay. If somebody has that experience, right? And this is for someone that has that ma'rifah. Again, I don't want to talk too much about this. One of the reasons why that ma'rifah, anyone that has ma'rifah of Allah, if you look at the lines of the du'as again, it talks about Ya Muntaha Amal al-Arifin. In I think it's one of the lines in Du'a Jawshan al-Kabir. Ya Muntaha Amal al-Arifin. Those who know him, the extent, they don't want anything, is what they really want, the end of it, the highest thing they want is him. Not anything material, not anything even in paradise, or anyone or anything else. Ya Muntaha Amal al-Arifin. If a person, if we can relate to that experience, you can use whatever figure you're acquainted with and you know, and you see how it's worth it. I would usually add for people who can relate to that idea with the leader, and I can very much relate to that. And I'd say this is really one of the students of the 12th Imam, okay, a student of the 12th Imam, right? Which is not comparable. No one's comparable to the Ma'sumin, right? Imagine what the 12th Imam is. Being in the presence of the 12th Imam is unimaginable. Unimaginable. And then the 12th Imam is a limited manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Limited manifestation. of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can relate to this, just think about this. In the moment of death is the moment that you will be able to meet him on a level that you're not able to within this realm. There are two verses in Surah Al-A'raf related to seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One, Musa addresses Allah. The other is about 50 people approximately, or 70, I forget the figure. Bani Israel, they wanted to see the Lord. And when Bani Israel wanted to see Allah, they went there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their lives. He took their lives. Because they wanted to see him with these eyes. There's another verse that says when he went for the miqat, he said, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Show me, I want to see you, Musa says. And then God says, you can't see me, وَلَكِنْ أَنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّتْ مَقَامَهُ. If I get the wording right, فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. Allah manifested in the mountain and it turned into dust, and Musa fell unconscious. When he was back, he repented. Allama Tabatabai explains there that this whole experience was not like Banu Israel asking to see Allah with these eyes. He would have been treated the same way, especially if he's a prophet, he'll be even treated worse. No, he had this longing, he had all that experience with Allah, he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, he wanted more intimacy with Allah. He knew Allah cannot be seen with these eyes, that's beyond a prophet, much less a prophet like Musa. Something beyond that is spiritual seeing. Allama Tabatabai explains, God through this experience showed him that while you're in this material form, you can't have that experience. You can't. That's why death is called liqa. Habib ilayya liqa'ak wa ahbib liqa'i. Another line in Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. All these are, remember we said this idea of the proximity of Allah, getting close to Him, being with Him, meeting Him, seeing Him. This is mentioned in our du'as, and it's something to long for, it's something to want. But, as we said, the du'as suggests, and it's very evident, it can only come with ma'rifah. Someone who thinks God is unjust, someone who thinks God is not good, someone who thinks God can stop wrong and He's not, someone who thinks that there's hardships we're going through and God is not helping me out, and all of this stuff, all these ill thoughts about God, how can you love a God like that? How can you want to be with Him? The ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to change. The ma'rifah can be found in these du'as, through conversations, trying to understand the verses of the Qur'an. God speaks. He says everything in the Qur'an. He manifests in the Qur'an. That ma'rifah is found in the Qur'an. But for those who reflect upon it, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night, which is the last Thursday night, Laylatul Jumu'ah of the month of Ramadan, He blesses us with a touch of His love and more ma'rifah, and more ma'rifah. And as we started with that line, وَأَشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ قُرْبِكَ فِي الْمُشْتَاقِينَ. We want this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Him to forgive all of the sins that are veils that don't allow us to see even conceptually who He is, for us to want Him and to long for Him and to desire Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to help us become His true and close companions. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping His cause. We ask Him to especially help and protect our ulama, our maraja, our leader, O Allah, Forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. O Allah, we all have hajat, we have needs, we have requests. We ask you by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to grant all of us our hajat, our needs, our requests, our du'as. Relieve all those who are suffering from illnesses, from difficulties, hardships, oppressions. We ask Allah to relieve all the oppressed people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.